Well, hello and welcome to Dedunking. I'm Dan, and in this episode, we're going to be evaluating the Giza power plant claims, the electric pyramids that I've joked about so many times. But, you know, it's easy for us to forget that other people don't have the same knowledge base that we do. And I worked as an electrician for a long time, so a lot of this stuff seems like common sense to me. And even though a lot of people that are watching this have probably installed their own outlets and light fixtures and whatnot, there's still, you know, there's a difference between changing on a light bulb and a light fixture and troubleshooting a circuit, designing a circuit, you know, figuring out when it's overloaded and calculating voltage drop, blah, 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 blah. So I do feel like I'm a little qualified to weigh in here. And when I've watched archaeologists that have debunked this, today I actually watched Dr. Miano's video on it, and he did a pretty good job, to be honest, from an archaeological perspective. And they always do it from the archaeological perspective, for obvious reasons. They're not electricians either. So I'm going to take this apart from the perspective of an electrician, and spoiler alert, it doesn't hold up very good. So first, let's just go through the very basics of what is the whole Giza power plant hypothesis. Basic ideas is working off of what they call piezoelectricity or physioelectricity. It's the electricity that's generated by things like quartz when it's put under an amount of stress. So like the most common thing that you've actually seen the electricity in the flesh from is if you've ever operated like a gas grill that has an electric starter, but the electric starter isn't wired into anything. It's just a piece of quartz in there that it's being stressed that's generating that electricity. Generating and being harnessed. Keep that in mind, spoiler alert number two. Anyway, this is the basic hypothesis here, is that the limestone bricks are creating a degree of piezoelectricity through various means, whether it be gases created in the pyramid itself or water flowing underneath or a combination of those or other means as well. It's basically said to have used the Ark of the Covenant or something else as a capacitor. The electricity is harnessed or stepped down or transformed into something usable, which is kind of an important thing. You can't just, if you just generate power, you can run a light bulb or something, but you're not going to be able to run anything more complicated than that. And then it was transmitted wirelessly through the air. It used granite as the conductor, and limestone created the electricity via the piezoelectric effect. Using the metaphor of water is a great way to portray electric terms in a way that's easy to understand. Ohm is a term of resistance. It's how resistant an object is to electrical current. So it's usually considered like the size of a pipe. Amps would be considered like the flow that's coming through, how much water is coming through at a time. The pressure would be voltage. How hard is that water being pushed? And then what actually comes out of the pipe, well, that's wattage. That's your actual energy output. So looking at it through those with those terms in mind, that way when I start babbling about this stuff, because I don't talk in many scientific terms in this stuff. I'm going to talk in like electrician terms because I'm an electrician. Sorry. So there you go. There's some sciencey electrician terms for you. The number one reason that this absolutely could not work, and yes, I will say without a shadow of a doubt that this absolutely could not work as it's portrayed by Christopher Dunn and many others, is grounding. Now, grounding is a safety feature. Like I said earlier, electricity is going to ground most of the time. It follows the path of least resistance, like most of us has heard, but that usually takes it to ground. Now, there's a number of reasons they hypothesize why, and who really cares. The reality of it is even when it's way up in the clouds, it jumps its ass all the way to the ground. It wants the ground bad. So we've learned this a long time ago and use it as a safety measure. Ben Franklin and his lightning rods were grounded. We ground our homes nowadays. We put these long ground rods, we drive into the ground, they put a nut on it called an acorn, they tie this big-ass number four wire to it, braided copper, they drag that braided copper right into the house and tie it right into your electric panel. It's tied right into the same bar as the return, the neutral, the return flow of your electricity. It's a safety mechanism. If shit goes wrong, it gets sent down that ground wire out to the ground, out of the house, and it dissipates. It's gone. As soon as it hits that ground, it doesn't matter how much voltage it is, it's gone. The earth is giant, and it's going to suck up that stuff as quick as it is, and there will be no more free electrons to be thrown around. So if you're thinking ahead a little bit, you're probably already figured out where there might be a serious problem here. The pyramid is built out of stone, put on top of stone, on the ground, with no insulator between it and the dirt. So if it's generating all of this piezoelectric electricity, it is being dissipated as soon as it's generated. It just flows right back into the ground. And For those, just quickly, those of you remember, there's like a big mound in the middle of the damn bed. Like, they leave a mound of bedrock that goes up into the foundation of the pyramid itself. It's bonded to the ground about as good as you could do back in those days, right? It's grounded. So any electricity that flows through any of that stone is just immediately, it's generated, and it's going to bleed right into it. The electricity isn't going to recognize the pyramid as any different than bedrock, except for some different lattice work as far as the, what do they call that? The way that the stuff, matrix. Yeah, I knew the word. It's going to think it has a different matrix. That's about it. But Dan, I hear you say, haven't you heard of the Pyramid Electric Generator by Peter Grandix? He goes into detail about how he was able to generate an electric charge with the scaled-down model of a pyramid. Well, of course I heard of it. That's why I'm bringing it up in the video. But the whole thing was that he had to do a number of changes. Well, one of it was he scaled down, but Another one was he coated two sides of the pyramid with copper, which, I mean, that would be pretty big on the Great Pyramid. But the third one is really what's applicable here. Give me one second, and I'll read straight from his paper there. The pyramid was built of a wooden frame and covered with triangular copper sheets on the sides that were electrically connected. It was placed on an insulating base and positioned in the general north-south direction. Now, by an insulating base, he means he put it like on a rubber mat so that all the electricity it generated didn't immediately get grounded and flow into the ground and dissipate, because that's what would happen. So let's go down the list really quick. These three pyramids, all grounded, cannot generate electricity in that limestone through piezostatic electricity. If it's generated, it bleeds. That pyramid, same issue. That pyramid, same issue. That pile of rocks, same issue. This pyramid over here in Maya land, same effing issue. All of these things are grounded heavily. If you go and find some like layer of serious insulator between that stone and the ground, that's feasible. But you're going to need to find more than that, as we'll cover as we go forward. Granite as a conductor. No, granite's an insulator. Granite has about the same conductive properties as dry wood. It's very, very resistant to electricity. If it as a pipe, as we talked about earlier, like an ohm, As a pipe would go, it's extremely small and would not allow very much electricity at all to pass through it. There's also a thing called voltage drop. And voltage drop is a huge deal when you look at long distances, which the pyramid absolutely is. If you run a nice fat piece of copper wire, 12-gauge copper wire that's intended to carry 20 amps at 110 volts, so everything's the right size for the flow, and you set that up at about 100 feet away, you're going to experience voltage drop. You're not going to have 20 amps out there. You're going to have about 10, maybe 12, depending on the number of factors. But you lose a lot. So, and that's with nice fat copper. Now, the way you get around that is by increasing the size of that copper wire. So you step up the size of the wire and it no longer loses that voltage. That's because there's more conductor there to carry that load. So you, for a piece of granite, basically what I'm getting at here is, if you were to take one of these chunks of granite that they're trying to say carried electricity, you could like pour lightning bolts, literally, you could pour like lightning bolts into one side of it, and out the other side of it would come almost nothing. It's going to suck it all up. It's just going to dissipate, and not even into the ground, into that rock. It's going to become voltage drop. So I don't understand how the whole granite thing even became part of this. Anyway, no, granite's not a conductor, it's an insulator. Now, piezoelectricity is extremely inefficient given the amount of energy it takes put into what you get out. For example, they do a lot of math trying to figure out how to make it these floor panels that they've designed that will generate electricity when people walk on them. And they don't give very much in return. Even just sitting there and the energy being expended is going to be expended anyway. They still, it's like the cost makes them, it's kind of like solar panels in the 80s. People are looking and going, I don't know about all this, man. So to begin with, where we're at now, thousands of years later, it's a very inefficient way of harvesting electricity, very inefficient way of using it. And the problem with that is when you couple it with things like granite conductor, where you're going to lose most of it when you use it, it's like you're not generating very much, and then you're pissing it away in your wiring that's made out of granite, and so you're not going to get anything. So that really, those two together makes no sense, assuming that the ground was not even an issue. Those two together make absolutely no sense to me because the amount of electricity that they gain would be lost immediately, and you would think if they were intelligent enough to design this and knew about electricity enough that they would realize that they needed something better than granite to send it down when they're only going to be gathering a limited amount of electricity off this giant structure. Well, let's talk about the metal, or lack thereof, in the Great Pyramid. The first thing to talk about would be the copper leads that got so many people asking me about this to begin with in my short that made me want to make this video now. Calling them leads would be wrong, but I've been thinking about them in terms of electrical for the last 2 or 3 days now, so sorry. They're just these little copper loops that are on the end of these two blocks that are inside of the Queen's Chamber shaft. Now, there might be more than two blocks. We don't know because we've only got a robot in between the two, but these metal loops can fit approximately a 3 meter object between them, or excuse me, 3 millimeter object into that loop. So they're small. They're very, very small. And even if you assume that the copper was as pure as what we've got nowadays, they would have had to run all the way through that entire Queen's Chamber shaft, all the way out the side of the pyramid, right? And to like carry the electricity and not burn up. Here's the thing, when you send an arc of electricity and it jumps from one thing to the other, it generates a lot of heat. And now a lot of things are designed to handle that, like these industrial things, they don't give a shit, man. But something small will burn right up. For example, your car fuse is a small piece of copper, right? And it's calculated to only be able to handle a certain amount of electrical flow. And if that electrical flow is exceeded, it will burn up, will physically break, and there will no longer be a circuit there. That's how it works. So these tiny little leads, they would carry so little electricity. And then again, with voltage drop, if you say that these were a third of the way outside of the pyramid, so that they had to go about 200 feet to get all the way out, and you were putting a light bulb right on the side of that thing, if you were generating just tons of power on the inside, if you had 110 volts at 20 amps, which would be quite a bit of power for back in those days, but that's generally what you have in like a garage or most basements and whatnot. Most lighting circuits are like 15 amps, but whatever. That line would give you like 40 watts on the ass end of it, and that would be negligible. I mean, you might be able to run a few things with modern power coming out through that thing, but that long of a line is not going to carry much juice. And it's broke between those two blocks, and it's not burnt. There's no black marks on those rocks, which there absolutely would be. There's no marks in there at all from it. They're where they were when they were put in there, man. I mean, besides the rust, they look the same. So there's no way that these were carrying juice. Sorry. The other thing that we are seeing that we lack metal here is that you can't generate that kind of physiostatic electricity without some metal on both ends of the block that you're crushing, that you're displacing, whatever it is. Earlier when I mentioned the quartz crystal, they have pieces of metal on both sides of that. So when it is warped, one gets a positive flow, one gets a negative flow. It's used, it's harnessed. It's not just allowed to just do what it wants. Because then you won't be able to use it, man. You have to harness the electricity. So the lack, in order for this to work the way that they say it did, it at the very least would have to have metal plate on the very bottom of the pyramid and somewhere near one of the tiers where it starts to like get small. But in reality, if you're really wanting to harvest all of the electricity that they're trying to say this thing would make, you would have to have metal plate between every single effing layer. Every course of masonry would have a metal plate going all the way through it. We don't see that. So they literally cannot generate physiostatic electricity through those blocks because of that lack of metal. This is cannot be done. And one more thing that I think is worth mentioning is that you hear them talk about like the Ark of the Covenant or whatever was supposedly used as a capacitor exploding on the inside of the King's Chamber.
When somebody didn't have it on in the Bible and they touched the Ark, they would become very sick. Their hair would fall out. Their nose would bleed. Their eyes would bleed. Their fingernails would fall off. Radiation sickness. This thing was generating some type of radiation power, some type of a generator of power of some sort. And it was connected to the Great Pyramid. It was in that box. Evidence for this, for me, That box has a gigantic piece of the granite missing off one corner, like an explosion happened from inside the box. Mm-hmm. If you look across the Grand Gallery, across the King's Chamber, there's a wall about maybe 30 feet away. The impact from that giant piece of granite that snapped off, it cut that granite on the wall, the exact shape of that corner piece.
Wow. Assuming that these guys were trying to master electricity, sure, that would be a very viable thing to have happen. There's only one problem. We don't see any evidence of an actual electrical explosion there. That would be black. I mean, black to, you would not be able to scrub the mark off in 1,000 years, in 10,000 years. Weathering would be, getting rid of that layer of rock would be the only way to do it. Furthermore, it would be hot enough that it wouldn't melt the stone, but it would pit it. So you would have a bunch of little shotgun-style pinholes of whatever metal was being used in this capacitor, which it absolutely would have had to have something metal-ish in there. Anyway, something hard blasted into the wall that we would be able to detect nowadays, and there would be a shotgun-pitted surface here. When electricity arcs, even small arc, you can take a hammer, and it's a common electrical thing to do on, if you're on a trim job and you're by yourself and you don't have a helper to like trip breakers for you. When you go up to an outlet or you want to test if it's hot or not, you take your crap hammer and you bash it up against both leads. And guys that do that all the time will have pieces of copper welded to their hammer because it's hot enough that it will bond those two metals to each other. The steel and the copper will absolutely become buddies from that. This, for a split second, it is god dang hot.
We're going to energize this power panel, similar to the type found in almost every industrial facility, to see what happens when we create an arc flash. A worker has no chance of getting out of the way. An arc flash can reach 35,000 degrees Fahrenheit, causing disabling second and third degree burns.
Wouldn't want to be that dummy. Holy crap. Yeah, see, arc flash, you know, aside real quick, arc flash is like the number one thing that guys like me were afraid of. You don't get shocked. You have that thing blow up in your face. And it's so damn hot, it's like you're staring into the sun for like a minute. But it's horrible. Arc flash is by far the most damaging thing to electricians. It's like trade worthy. Like, we fall off ladders a lot, too. But like, trade, like exclusive to our trade, getting zapped by arc flash and blinded. A lot of electricians lose their eyes. A lot of electricians lose one or two fingers or are heavily scarred, big marks on their body from a burn or something like you saw, just a blast. Just boom. Well, that shit hammers granite so hard we would absolutely see marks of that today. There would be absolute evidence of that for a very, 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 very long time, unless it was painstakingly removed, as in carved off of the wall. And I find that you're really going to have to give the archaeological cabal a lot of credit for them to send Indiana Jones in there in the 1800s before we even mastered electricity to carve the evidence of electricity off those walls. That Flanders Petrie guy, I always knew there was something wrong with him. Sir, my ass. Now, for those of you who followed me for a while, you know that I love mysteries and that I think the pyramids are extremely enigmatic. You also know that I like to distill these things and get rid of the chaff and focus on the wheat. And in my opinion, this is really a huge piece of chaff in the pyramidiate community. There's a lot of people that have been taken by this, and it's understandable because a lot of it sounds really intelligent. And if you don't know better, you don't see it. But as somebody who worked with the stuff a lot, immediately I'm like, what? Ground? How's that work? But anyway, I'll give you a little bit of my credentials here so that you can get an idea of why I feel like I can weigh in on this stuff. I worked as an electrician for about 15 years. I was journeyman in some states, apprentice in others, was lead on numerous jobs, wired medical offices, dental offices, homes, restaurants, numerous tons of troubleshooting, designed phase converters, like makeshift stuff at time, one phase converter, makeshift phase converter. I can't say converters, but I've done a lot of that kind of stuff. Okay. I've done a lot of electrical work on in 2008 when everything changed over and construction guys all lost their jobs. I started selling things on eBay and I immediately gravitated to electronics and ended up repairing and selling a lot of old video games and Betamax players and Laserdiscs and stuff like that. Electricity is something that I am fairly well familiar with and well enough familiar to take one look at this and shake my head vigorously. So please don't hate me too much for those of you who I bursted your electric pyramid bubble. I'm no different than me saying that it's not right when Mini Minuteman says X, Y, or Z. I'm not trying to burst those people's bubble either. I'm just trying to distill this down to the truth, because I don't really have a side here, for those of you who haven't noticed. I just want the truth. I just want the facts. And there is no way, as far as my expert opinion can see, that this electric pyramid power plant thing has a snowball's chance in hell of being accurate. Thank you very much for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Click the buttons. Tell your grandparents that I'm making more videos and there is more to come down the pipes. Thank you very much and have a good evening.